Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Christopher Hall Show here on the Total Media Network. And I'm excited about the program, Dr. Christopher Hall. Dr. Hall, how are you? And thank you for your service.
I'm doing great, Neil. No problem. I'm just excited to be here on the show with our wonderful guest today. Very excited.
All right, so go ahead and introduce our guest.
Hey. My name is Monty Washington. Just happy to be here.
Motivation.
He was introducing you, but don't worry. Hey, Monty. thanks for stopping by. How are you dealing with the quarantine right now?
I'm managing pretty well, to be honest. At first, it was tough because I'm an extrovert. I like being outdoors. I like working. I work from home, but that means I like to work at coffee shops or co-working spaces. So it was hard, but I've adapted really well now. So I'm just trying to stay safe, honestly, just trying to do my part to stay safe and, follow all the rules and wear my mask, the simple things. But I'm making the most out of this time off from both my industries, from speaking and acting. So I'm making the most out of it.
That's that we have to make the most out of these things and these situations, and a curveball always hits us and we have to deal with it. All right, Dr. Hall, for your first question.
No problem. Where are you from, and how did you get into acting?
Well, I'm a foster kid, so I'm from a lot of different places. I lived most of my life in Phoenix, Arizona, but I lived in New York, I lived in Ohio, I lived in Dallas, Texas, and I got into acting. Just love performing, to be honest with you. I was an athlete. I went to college. I got a basketball scholarship. But even back in elementary school, middle school, and high school, I always loved doing plays and acting. It was fun. It was something to do to stay out of trouble. And then going into college and graduating, I just realized I love this. I'm more of an artist than an athlete. And I just stuck with it. You get training. You do studios. You get personal coaching, and then you just hit the ground running, especially in LA. It's just a grind. It's audition after audition, no after no, and I've been in the game for about 8 years, and finally things are coming together. So, yeah, it's just acting. It's my passion. It's my calling. It's what I was put on this earth to do, to tell stories, to impact people in a positive way.
So with sports, what was your best sport? Playing?
Oh, basketball. Yeah, no, I was a hooper. Basketball was my first love.
The first love. And what, so did you get, do you play in college?
Yeah, I played in college. I went to a junior college, and I went to a D2 in Ohio. It's a private black college, Wilberforce University. I got my college education paid for through sports until my senior year. Then I stopped playing. I focused strictly on acting.
Ah, okay. All right, Dr. Hall, next question. You ready for the next question, Dr. Hall?
Yes, I am.
All right, go ahead.
It's very exciting, And the thing about Monty is he is a person who is very motivated, very motivational. He comes from a very humble background. I have in common, Monty, I was grew up in foster care and boys' homes and juvenile hall all over Los Angeles till I was 18. And so Monty's story is awesome. This gentleman, a very humble background, his experience.
I'm slowing down. Those will be the cutting room floor.
The cum laude, the number of these. Monty, tell us a little bit about your childhood and growing up in those foster care.
My childhood was pretty rough. I grew up, my mother was a prostitute and she was a drug addict. I was conceived in a hotel room. My dad, I never met him. And I truly doubt he knows I exist. And because of the way I was brought up, I grew up sleeping in parks for weeks at a time. I lived in crack houses on multiple occasions. I grew up in group homes where I was in 12 different group homes over the course of a few years. So it was really rough. Just every stereotypical thing, just seeing the drugs, seeing people get shot, stopping ex-boyfriend of my mom's from meeting her. It was a really rough time, including being hospitalized in one of my foster homes. I was kind of beat and then hospitalized, and then I was locked in a room by another foster parent for nearly 3 months for almost 23 hours a day. And what that did was that, that I developed depression and had suicidal tendencies until I got therapy and I got help. So yeah, my childhood, the first part, it was really rough. Honestly, through the grace of God and just sheer luck, I'm here and I'm in a nice mental state. But yeah, my childhood, up until about high school, until I got to my last foster parents, things were pretty rough. I'll be honest. It was a trying time. But looking back on it, you know, it's really molded me into who I am now. So I can't get mad at it. And I'm blessed and grateful that I'm one of the few who survived, because I've worked with young men who lived in foster care, who lived in group homes, and a lot of them aren't doing very well right now in adulthood. So I feel like I'm one of the lucky ones, to be honest.
Now, we had one of our guests, Jen Lilly, and Jen is really doing some great work with foster. Did you know about her work and stuff like that? She's an actress in Hollywood. We'll have to connect. I'll have to reach out to your publicist and connect you to Jen for sure. I think that would be a great thing. And I could see a story also with you, with that kind of story that you could write something kind of like that for what you grew up, because there's not success stories like you out there, like the story you just brought up about, you know, you're not even knowing your father, your mom was a prostitute, being able to go through all those hard times. I mean, did you ever think of that, looking at putting something together like that, writing wise?
I do. I'm working on my next book. So I have a book right now called From the Streets to the Stage. And it shares a little bit of my life story in a very self-help book. So when I tour colleges and give lectures, that's what I do. It's on Amazon. It's called From the Streets to the Stage. So, but I wrote that a few years ago. So now with my perspective now, and I've reconnected with my biological mom and done some therapy and counseling, I got a different perspective on it all. So I'm starting the process of writing my next book. But yeah, that's what I'm using my acting platform for. We live in a celebrity-driven world, let's be honest. And unless you're a big name or you have a ton of money behind you, it's hard to get your story out and to make people really care unless they know who you are. So that's one thing I do. Every time I do anything with acting, I make sure people know where I came from and what I've experienced, on top of how hard it is to be successful in this industry, just to use that as a way to really inspire people. So as my celebrity grows and, you know, I get to that Will Smith level one day, hopefully, that's going to be a big part of my narrative, is showing people, even a kid who was abused in foster homes and was in special ed classes till eighth grade, despite where you start, it doesn't determine where you're going to go in life.
Yeah, so the PR firm that Jen Lilly is part of, we had someone from the same show, Bros, on too. Did you know that? Did you already know?
No.
And who was it? See, Chris will remember the name. I interview so many people. It'll come to me later, so I'll go back to that question. Okay. But Dr. Hall, who was the other one we had on from Bros? He went to the University of Pittsburgh and stuff. So it'll come to me in a second.
Right, Marty.
Who?
Marty.
Yeah,
my boy, Marty Kachi. That's my dude from Bruh. He plays Tom. Yeah, that's my guy. We're like real bros in real life. Like those are my guys. I didn't know he was on here. That's crazy.
Yeah, he didn't get to do the video. He got to do but the same PR firm that represents him represents Jen. So I will make sure your publicist connects with that, so you and Jen can kind of collaborate some. I'm always about connecting and helping people. And maybe when you become Will Smith level, you'll remember me.
I'll be happy to come back on, Neil.
All right, good, Dr. Hall. Next question.
Wow, well, no problem. I mean, this is, and you know, that's the thing about the show. We have such inspiring guests, you know, and I think that our guests can relate to the fact that sometimes in life people judge you by the cover of the book or how they see you. And that's not really what you are. So tell us a little bit about that. What do you think about how people judge you as opposed to who you really are?
Well, there's one thing I say every time I speak, and it's almost my MO, is we don't look like our story. I say that all the time. We don't look like our story. And people assume because where you've come from or the way you look that you have to behave in this way, that your future is already predetermined because of where you came from. But we don't look like our story because we're greater than our story. But a lot of people buy into that false narrative that our stories and our experiences form who we are. And I don't think so. Anybody listening to this, I want to challenge them. Your stories and your experience don't form who you're going to become. They inform you about who you can become. So when you have a paradigm shift like that, to where instead of just because you were abused, for instance, I was abused, I was abandoned. There was a lot of moments in my life where I felt like I wasn't loved. Those experiences didn't form me into somebody who was unlovable. Those experiences gave me information on what it feels like to be abused and not loved, so I don't give those experiences or abuse somebody else. You're not a failure because you're not a failure because of your experiences, right? You learn, you have those experiences, so you can learn the lessons that only failure can provide for you. So to anybody out there that assume one thing or another, remember, we don't look like our story. And the only way you can get to the bottom of it is to engage with the person, really get to know who they are and what makes them tick, because we all behave, we all act based off of our experiences. Now, some people say, my dad was a drug addict or alcoholic, so I have to be a drug addict or alcoholic, right? A lot of people believe that, but instead it's like you experienced that negative, yes, that hurtful experience. So now that information that you ascertained from it can make you a better version of yourself. So by going, I believe by going through all those negative experiences, it made me a much better version of the Monty now as a grown man. If I would have had a normal life without any adversity, I don't think I would be as loving as I am of people, as understanding. I wouldn't be as driven. So, you know, our stories don't form us. They inform us because we don't look like our story.
See, I love that answer. And that's the motivation that we try to do here on the Dr. Christopher Hall Show. And also myself as, you know, Neil Haley, I look at my growth at 47 years old and where I am today and how I act compared to when I was a professional wrestler and how I was minor leagues, never got to the big time, but how I interacted with people, how I dealt with people, how I dealt with adversity to the day where I deal with adversity. And I'm able to just say, you know what? I focus on positivity, focusing on being positive and looking at what's the next step to make things better, not to focus on the negative. And I think that we surround ourselves sometimes with negative people who bring us down and keep us from our true belief and calling. And that's where you look at success versus failure. Some people fail because of circumstance. They don't fail because of talent. They fail because of circumstance. But if they can learn how to deal with their circumstances and make the right choices, but it's harder. You know, when you're stuck in a position like you were, that's going to be that kind of thing. So, all right, Dr. Hall, with your next question.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So now tell us about some of the challenges there that you've had there in Hollywood and how you've built challenges to spring yourself higher.
Ooh, challenges in Hollywood. People have to understand, anybody who listens to this and is inspired or feel their calling is Hollywood in this industry, I'll say this, perseverance is a cheat code for life. I'll say that. Perseverance is a cheat code for life. And if you're going to come to Hollywood and you're going to plan on making a living doing this kind of work, you're going to have to persevere. I've been in this industry, I've been in LA 9 years, right? 9 years. Now, in the last year and a half, I've been able to make a living off of acting. So 8 years, right? So you could have gone to undergrad school, you could have gone to med school, and now you would have gotten the benefits of it. And that's how it is, though. That's exactly how it is here. It's you have to persevere. The challenges are insurmountable oftentimes. I've been passed up for roles because I was too black, too bald, too tall, too short, too young, too old. There's so many reasons why you don't get the role. And in LA, this is the mecca of entertainment, TV and film. Everyone from around the world comes here for this dream that there's only so many spots for. And you have to understand the totality of what you're getting yourself into. I remember watching an interview a while ago with Don Cheadle, and he was asked a question like this, and he was so honest. He's like, if you're talented in anything else, if you're good in anything else, go do that. Don't do this. It is too hard. It is too hard. It is too difficult. It is too much of a struggle. But if me saying that is enough for you to go do that other thing, then you're not meant for this work. It has to be a calling. I can't see myself doing anything else other than being a motivational speaker and lecturer and being an actor and being fulfilled. I can do a lot of other jobs. I hold two college degrees. I can do stuff to make money, but to feel fulfilled, I'm so fulfilled in my work because I'm making a living off of acting. I'm on three different shows. And by the time quarantine's up, there's a great possibility I'm shooting the second season of those three different shows. And that is a blessing. It is rare, but it's taken me nearly 9 years to get these opportunities. And how many times I can't tell you how many different jobs. I literally worked at a restaurant, was a life coach, did security, and did catering on the weekend at one point just to make ends meet so that I had room to audition and to do this stuff. So the struggle is real. It is hard as hell. That is all there is to it. But you got to love it.
Yes.
A lot of people look at actors and they're like, oh, it must be, it is hard. And a lot of people say patronizing comments so often. And it's like, do you know what it is to be college educated and to say, forget a real career, as people say? I'm going to go chase a dream where the chances of me failing are 100 times more likely than me succeeding, and you still go for it. It takes a special kind of individual to go ahead and do that. So just be ready. It's hard as hell, but it's worth it.
I see, and I absolutely look at the same thing as you're looking at right now as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I can go ahead and get a better job. I have a side hustle job or a full-time job plus multiple businesses, but then I wouldn't feel fulfilled. I would never want to give up on this dream of all the different things that I've developed in a digital marketing company, PR firm now, trying to grow and take it to the next level, have a bigger show, all these things. I could never give any of this up. This would just be the thing that, this is what drives me. When I was a professional wrestler, I did give that up. I did give up that dream, a step away from the WWF. Probably would have wrestled in Japan, probably would have done, but I chose to have a family and do these things. Mm-hmm. This here, I can still have both. And then and I might be putting my hat back in the ring again because of entrepreneurship, opportunity to make money once the pandemic's over. Just like you, I can't wait because I have a lot of plans, especially expansion of how the show to go on location more, to have more opportunities, the right team, but we're just waiting. But I'm just kind of summarizing how well that was answered because that's how I feel. So looking at when you talk about how much did college prepare you in this way for this? Because again, when I look at hiring people, I look at certain reasons, and I'm sure Hollywood does the same thing. Are they reliable? Are they a team player? Mm-hmm. Are they willing to work hard and study through even that audition? When you go to the next level, they're looking at what the time you show up, how you're
dressed,
how you're doing those things. Do you believe college helps you in that way?
Yeah, this is, I'll answer that in two different parts. So as far as college, I feel like it's the overall college is outdated. There's a lot of degrees that don't lead to direct means of income. I'm just being honest, my mass media communications degree, I'm not doing anything with it. It's like, what is a mass media communication?
You have a perfect podcast coming.
Right, exactly. But I don't have to do that to do a podcast. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm a communicator already.
And true, then I don't know. Maybe some of the things that help me become better than a lot of people in podcasts. Okay, I'm just going to give you
that. No, I'm just saying there's a lot of degrees. So I believe college as trades, if you need to learn how to be an architect, a doctor, a lawyer, a carpenter, all these different things that take specific skill sets, but like a general business degree, a general communications degree, as far as that, that's not what's important. What I took away from college, and when I even speak, I go speak to college students. Not only the experience and the growth, because in college, you're gonna find out who you are or who you aren't, and that's an invaluable experience, but college teaches you one of the most important and invaluable lessons in life. In order to get what you want, you have to finish what you start. If it takes 160 credits to graduate, if you have 159, you're not going to get your degree. You have to finish what you start. And that's one of the biggest things for college that I say, and just who I became as a person. I found my calling in acting and speaking in college. I found who I really am. I'm more artist than athlete. So on that level, and as far as in Hollywood, I think it just prepares you for Hollywood is difficult, and on set, all that matters. Like right now I'm watching, I watch Westworld. I watch Game of Thrones. Mahershala Ali is one of my favorite actors, and I just found out he's doing this role that I wanted so bad. I was like, oh, man, when I make it. And it's, like, frustrating, but then again, just like you said, when you're hiring, they look at the totality. They have to look at your resume. They have to look at your reel to say that you can actually do the job. They have to look at your history. Now, it's a double-edged sword because on one hand, I'm a leading man type, so I go in for auditions with guys who have much more illustrious careers than me. So I'm at a disadvantage because it's like, well, they're proven. Yeah, you have a nice look. Yeah, you're a nice actor, but they're proven. Right. So you have to really, that's why you have to persevere, because there's a little element of luck to where you finally get that big opportunity and you have to be ready for it because there's so many things that are up, that you're up against. But these are, every show is a multi-million dollar company, every show. So if they're going to invest millions of dollars and all the cast and crew and editing and sights and, you know, production, they need to make sure you're capable of doing it. You have to have the confidence, you have to have the skill, you have to have the training. So I get it. It's a lot at stake, and a lot of actors, we take it personal, thinking, oh, we're not good enough. Sometimes you're not ready. I wasn't ready for the Tyler Perry show years ago. I wasn't. Bruh, I went on set with Madi and my boy Barry and my boy Philip, and we killed it. Why? Because I was ready, and Tyler Perry works at a completely different rate and pace than any other production company. But if I didn't get my BET show Games People Play first, which was my first recurring role on TV, I had to learn it's a different experience when you're on set for a couple of months versus you come on set, you say 3 or 4 words and you leave. But I had to learn that experience, because if I would have got to Tyler Perry before that, I would have crashed and burned. Yeah. But now I'm so much more confident, so much ready, and so much more prepared that whatever comes my way, I'm ready for it. So yeah, part of that is...
I think it's definitely college, and I think that you're right about degrees that are useless, but having to work hard, having to put the hours in, having to perform to get that degree is such an important thing, and I believe that that it's such a part of it. Now, Dr. Hall, also thinking about, when we think about his story, you think about the adversity he dealt with in different things, but then, bam, he gets this opportunity, and he goes with it. But I think they look for workable people. They look for certain things. They want experience, but they also want, are they going to be able to follow direction? And that's where the director is such a powerful thing. Go ahead, Dr. Hall, with your next question. Are you there, Dr. Hall? Don't worry, you're not frozen. It's Dr. Hall.
No.
Chris. Okay. He bounced, so he's off for a second. Maybe his phone. Okay. Let's go back to finally kind of closing, not closing it out, because I want to talk about your latest projects. He's good jumping back in. But let's talk about Bra for a second, who your role in this is, and then talk about some of your other projects you've done. And what I'm trying to tell all actors now, just because it's over, you got to still stay on it. Because guess what?
Oh, my God.
Because if there's nothing else to promote the old stuff as well. Yeah. Because the old stuff, people can go back and watch now. But go ahead and tell us.
It's incredible important for that. And my role, I play Bill. I play Architect. Out of the four bros, you know, bros, just it's you got four college friends, frat brothers who are navigating life and dating in Atlanta in the 20th century, which is dope because you can't really point to a show where you see four African American men just living life normal. Right. At the forefront of a show. And that's part of the beauty of it, in which we're all grateful that Tyler Perry, you know, chose us for that. But it's just my character. I'm one of the outspoken ones in a group, and I made the cardinal sin. I let a good woman go. So a lot of my journey in the first season is, how do you deal with the fact that you realize you made a mistake, and how do you prove to this woman who's essentially moved on, how do you prove that you're different and you really want her and it's about her? So that's fun and very humbling, you know, to be groveling in all these interesting situations my character Bill puts himself in while maintaining the relationship with his bros, which is like uber important in the show. It's just, you know, it's brotherhood. That's the main point of the show, and it is fun. You just watched episode 11 is on BET Plus right now. It's streaming. We got one more episode before we do like a mid-season break, because there's 24 episodes in total. Yeah. And it's just fun. You just, everything you see on there, yeah, everything you see on there, we bring in real life. We chat. We got a group chat. We talking. I'm probably about to call one of them after we get off with this. The relationship you see on screen is as genuine as it gets. I've worked with on other sets with other people where it's a very work relationship. We working cool. After we go our separate ways. You do you, I do me. But with this, the brotherhood is, it's a real thing, and it translates on screen, and it's such a fun show. It's so fun.
All right, Dr. Hall, now are you okay? Ready for the next question?
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I mean, and that's great, that interaction with you and the members on the show. Now, let me ask you this. How do young black men end up in special ed but are able to graduate magnum cum laude from college? Tell us about that.
Well, part of it is it's work. It's a lot of things. So you got to, it's really important to have a couple of people in your life that believe in you. You know, Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers. Luckily, I had a few people in my life that saw my potential, believed in me, a couple of teachers, and a couple of CASA workers and caseworkers who kind of spoke good into my life. So that's a big part of it. Another part of it is busting your ass. I was four grades behind. I was in special ed classes up until eighth grade. So I was behind. I should have graduated a year earlier than I actually did because of moving around. And, you know, there was a lot of time where I wasn't in school. So part of it is school isn't, it isn't complicated. It's like, it's not complicated. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. Study. That's not the sexy answer, but I was at tutoring every day after school. Wow. I asked questions. I busted my butt. I remember in eighth grade when I was held behind, and I remember going to the honor roll assemblies and people coming up and they're smiling, they're getting their little piece of paper that has their GPA. And I was just sitting in the back and like, I felt stupid, if I'm being honest. I felt left out. And I was like, I hate this feeling. I remember being in eighth grade and just being like, you know, I was a bit of a class clown. You know, I had some behavioral issues and all that stuff because of what was going on at home. But I was just remembering, like, how cool would it be to go up on that stage? I liked the idea of being congratulated and being rewarded for something. And after that, it's just something clicked. I was like, I don't want to feel stupid. I don't want to be called stupid. And I busted my butt. I applied myself. I made my education priority, along with sports. And my last foster parent, my foster dad, Jeffrey Banks Pops, he made it very clear that studies come before sports. So if you're going to be a successful athlete, which basketball was my love, I loved it, I had to apply myself. So that's what it was. I made it a priority. You got to make it a priority, your education, and see where it can get you. Because I knew my foster parents, the moment I hit 18, I'm out. What am I going to go do? Just work at a normal job, and that's my life. College set me up for success in that way. I got to go somewhere else and I got to leave the state and I got to experience that. And I just made my education a priority. I made that, I understood the importance of that, and I made it a priority. And that's what people got to do. You got to focus on your studies.
See, that's a fabulous part of the story that, again, that's why the book. So again, that's why, and again, we're trying to promote your other projects, but the book, so you really have, you're a hybrid in so many ways, a jack of all trades. And I love that, because the fact is that you have the multiple ways of promotion and development. How did you figure that out? Like, I know your story, but did somebody encourage you to tell the story?
Yeah, actually, I was, I think it was junior year. I took a, cause I got my AA in business marketing, and then I was going to go try to get into business law. I was going that route. And my teacher, I think sophomore junior in college, she was like, I don't know if you're built for lawyer work. Like, are you, like, your personality? She's like, have you ever seen a happy criminal law lawyer or business lawyer? Cause those are the two areas I was thinking about. And I'm like, no. She's like, okay, just think about something else. So anyways, I switched my major to communications because I was like, okay, I like communicating. PR was really dope to me and all that. And I had a public speaking class and I wasn't taking it serious. And my teacher was like, Monty, tell me something about yourself nobody knows. And so we had this whole conversation and I told her a little bit about my story, and she kind of dug it out of me. And she's like, oh my God. Cause I was a cool dude. I was a big man on campus and nobody knew that cause I was ashamed of being a foster kid. I was ashamed of my mother and, you know, where I came from. And she said, she bribed me. My teacher bribed me. She said, if you, the next public speaking day, so the next time we have to get up in front of class, if you tell people your story and you do it honestly, without any jokes, without any clowning, I'll give you an A for the course. I was like, word? Okay. And I just told my story and some of my classmates were crying. People were like, man, I never knew, like, you're a big dude on campus, you're an athlete. I thought everything was good. And after that, I realized the impact my story could have on people. And my teacher, Dr. Moore, encouraged that. And then after that, I was like, you know what? And I also have my best friend, Julia Garcia. She knew my story, and she always encouraged me to speak and to do that. And I was like, nah, I was ashamed. That's just what it was. I was ashamed. And after going through that, I was like, wow, there's power in this. There's a way to inspire people. And I was hooked. And I love speaking. I love being in front of people. So all that played in. But I realized the impact my story could have on people. And from then to now, that's what I've been doing.
Okay. Dr. Hall, summarize Monty for us.
Well, no problem. Well, there you have it. I mean, a inspiration. I'd say Mr. Motivation, Monty, an individual who has started out from a very humble background. We were in special education, and we had thoughts of not really wanting to be here, but Monty overcame that, used hard work, grit, to work his way up.
Yeah. Yes, thank you for being on the show, as he was about to say.
No problem.
And, you know, it's just, like, unbelievable. Other projects. So what
can we watch right now? Thank you for coming on the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Chris, I totally agree with you. What a great guest. I mean, he definitely just impressed the heck out of me. And he makes everyone think, you know, you start giving up in life and say everything is wrong, especially Rona. If you can overcome this, you can overcome anything. But tell us other projects. You have Bro.
Okay. Yeah. So I have Bruh. Not Bro. Bruh. Bruh. So I have Bruh that's streaming on BET Plus right now. Episode 11 just came out. It comes out every Thursday. So you can go ahead and stream first 11 episodes. After next week, we're going to take a bit of a hiatus, mid-season break. So that's the biggest. I have Games People Play. That's also on BET Plus and the BET Network. We're waiting to shoot the second season. We were supposed to be shooting the second season 2 weeks before we got quarantined. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, another show, Stuck With You, is on UMC Urban Movie Channel. It's an online streaming platform. And that's streaming. You can stream the first 6 episodes. Massively different characters. And then I'm working on some stuff myself. I'm switching over to the virtual lecturing and speaking field. I'm working on my next book. And I'm working on my own show, acting-wise, with a couple of good friends of mine. So, yeah, I'm staying busy. I believe, despite all that's going on, there will be an abundance of opportunities for everyone. If you can see them, if you can create them, if you can prepare yourself to be able to take full advantage of them.
For right now. Meaning, if you don't take it right now by the horn and say, oh, I'm going to complain about, can't go here, I can't go there, I can't do this. Well, you find out, do something else. It's just a short period of time, and we'll get through this. And then doors are going to open up for people that don't want to knock on them because they're giving up. Not giving up. They're like, oh, this is a break. You're not taking it as a break. You're taking it as it's game time. And that's the athlete that you are and all the struggles and difficulties you've gone through. So where can we follow you, places, connect with you?
You can follow me online. Most actively is on Instagram, at Montivation. That's M-O-N-T-I-Vation. So at Montivation, that's my motivational speaking one. And I have at Monty _Washington. That's more of my acting and personal stuff. And then on Twitter, you can find me Washington Monty. So it's just my last name, first name, second, Washington Monty. And yeah, that's it. You just on Instagram, go ahead, DM me, like, comment, all that good stuff, and just keep up. I haven't slowed down. There's a lot more to come.
And your book you can purchase on Amazon, right?
Yeah, Amazon. From the Streets to the Stage on Amazon. Yeah, From the Streets to the Stage. Go ahead and get that. You get a little insight of my story. Personal help.
And everyone needs to purchase Dr. Hall's book. That's on Amazon as well, right, Dr. Hall?
It is, Water of the Court. And it really talks about a lot of stuff that Monty and I went through growing up as kids in foster homes and boys' homes. And
you know, Monty was in 12 of them. So it talks a lot about those kind of things. So,
yeah, I have Monty Sell. I will group text you guys. You guys, I think, need to hook up and see a way of trying to do some great things together for sure.
All right. Thank you guys so much for having me. I truly appreciate it.
All right. Take care. All right. All right, guys. That was the Dr. Christopher Hall Show, everyone. Take care.